we need to read the whole thing. So please listen as I read the gospel text. You may remain seated. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were, let's all read it together. I'm having trouble with eyes this morning. You pick it up with me at that point. They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Wow. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? How would you like to have to preach a sermon on that text? Well, I'm it. Hang on. Let's sing the hymn before sermon. Let's stand.
my fish net and will for work me.
Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. A portion of this gospel text, just a wee little bit. Jesus sent the 12 out with the following instructions. Cure the sick, raise the, cleanse the, and cast out demons. These are thy holy words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. Dear Dad, I begin with an apology. A few weeks ago, I preached a Mother's Day sermon entitled, Dear Mom. At that time, I said to myself, when Father's Day rolls around, I'll have to try to do the same for you. Guess what? I forgot. Monday, I came to the office, pulled out the text for today, worked on the sermon Monday morning, worked on it again Tuesday morning, worked on again Wednesday morning, went to the post office Wednesday afternoon, and found what? A Father's Day card. Oh, all that work, 3 mornings on a sermon. So, Dad, here's my apology. I didn't want to throw it away, the 3 days' work, nor was I excited about starting all over with a Dear Father, Dear Dad sermon. So I decided I would take what I'd already done and just add a little bit about you on the tail end of it. So here goes. Part one. Jesus hired 12 guys, right? Called the apostles to assist him in his work, even giving them some authority over some of these things that Jesus had been dealing with, which were cure the, raise the, cleanse the, and cast out. Those are fairly ambitious job expectations. Well-defined, measurable tasks. So, in hindsight, how'd they do? How'd they do? Did they cure the sick? Raise the dead? Cleanse the lepers? Cast out demons? Well, I didn't expect yeses on that. What? You don't remember any scriptures where they did that? Huh? Did they? That's something we really don't know. However, what we do know is that in my reading of the scriptures, and my recollection at least, I don't remember any biblically recorded records of them doing what Jesus told them to go out and do. If they were given the ability, it says early in the text that they were given authority over, but it didn't necessarily say they were given the ability to do away with. For whatever reason, there is no recorded record of them doing what Jesus here commissioned them to do. Which brings me to the question, are we, as followers in the line of the apostles, under the same instructions? Do Jesus' instructions given to the 12 apply to you and me? If so, speaking for all of us, to my knowledge, none of us have ever raised someone from the dead that I know of. However, it's been tried. When I was a pastor down in Newburgh, Oregon, a little boy died in the hospital. The pastor and the church family refused to let anyone in the hospital touch that child. They would not let the hospital remove the child from the room. And for 2 contentious days, 48 plus hours, the pastor, surrounded by members of the family and the church, attempted to bring back to life this little boy who had died, focusing upon Jesus' words from John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." The hospital administrator was a member of my church. He came to me for counsel and said, "What can I do? They won't let us in the room." The city was in turmoil. Everybody in town knew it. Publicity like this was not good for the Christian community. And after 2 tense days in our community, they gave up their effort of raising this little boy from the dead. Raising the dead doesn't seem to be the work of mortals. Speaking for all of us, none of us have ever cleansed a leper. Speaking for all of us, not to my knowledge, none of us has ever cast out a demon. Though perhaps there are infrequent reports of that having been done, but there are always lots of questions swirling around any occurrence like that, called exorcising demons. And then we come to that other task, which was cure the sick. Broadly interpreting this work directive, perhaps all of us, if not curing the sick, have certainly cared for the sick. I believe it's not too big a stretch to say that in a real way, caring for the sick, while not synonymous with curing the sick, in reality, in a broader understanding of the word cure, can be said that caring for the sick is a form of curing the sick. I called Sally and told her that tomorrow I'm coming down, 120 miles. I'm going to give you a break from your 24/7 caring / curing life. So Sally, I told her on the phone, think about what you're going to do tomorrow. you're going to be free. Get in your Camry and drive and spend the day at the ocean. And just sit by the ocean by yourself. Or go the other direction. Go up Mount Hood and take a friend with you and have lunch at the Timberline Lodge. Or if you don't want to do that, just go to the mall and do something that you haven't been able to do. Spend the day, however, get away from the house. Because tomorrow, I'm going to take care of John, my lifelong buddy. I couldn't cure him. Bladder cancer. But I could care for him. It was a strange day. Oh my, it was a strange day. A day I haven't really talked much about. I never told Sally about it. I've never talked to my own wife about it. My hands were tied. Oh, how I wished I could have cured my best buddy. But I could do nothing more than care. He was still up and around when I arrived in a recliner, in his PJs, with a blanket tucked around him. I can still see him sitting there. She was hesitant to leave, even though I told her she was going to get out of there. After a little coaxing, she did, knowing what I was about to learn, what my day was going to be like. Cancer is a nasty disease. And in John's case, was mentally affecting his desire to speak. And so the scads of hunting and fishing excursions, which we had piled one upon another, were silenced, not to be reminisced this time, not even one last time. Bouncing my memory back to our shared days at seminary, Dr. Fritz Norstedt had taught us that someday you maybe will run into a situation in your ministry where there will be no words to share, only your presence, unspoken words, speaking more loudly than anything you could ever muster to say. And this was it. John knew it. And I knew it. Words would only mess things up. Much of our time that day was spent wandering throughout their house, from room to room to room, me following for physical support if needed. Sometimes he'd stop for minutes on end, gazing at pictures on the wall, pictures he had taken of Melanie, his daughter, in her cheerleading garb, or of little John in his baseball uniform, swinging a bat. From the recliner to the kitchen, from the kitchen down the hallway to one bedroom, and out of that bedroom into another bedroom, and back to the family room, around and around and around we went. each place, pausing, sometimes for minutes upon end, gazing at his Benellis in his gun cabinet, or at the three trophy walleyes, 14-pounders hanging on the wall, or at rows and rows and rows of books, theology from Luther to Elie Wiesel, novels both classic and contemporary, from Dostoevsky, however you say that, to Steinbeck. Books. Books which were not decorations, but books, all of which he had read, from which he had gleaned colorful illustrations for his sermons. I don't know really what was going on in his mind, but one thing he knew, and one thing I knew, we were not alone. Knowing also that if I could have, I would have been the miracle worker, but that what Dr. Norstedt had taught us is sometimes the best we mortals can do, that caring is a form of curing. I knew what was ahead for John, and he did too. We didn't have to talk. We knew I couldn't cure his cancer. We knew his cancer was moving throughout his body, but we knew we were not alone. Now, Dad, back to you. Remember my seminary years? When I brought John down to the farm for the opening of pheasant season? Remember how we couldn't start hunting till noon on that opening day, and how John had awakened at 6 a.m. and seeing roosters perched in trees alongside our house awakened me and said, "Get up, we gotta go." The next 6 hours were some of the longest hours in John's life, waiting for high noon. Remember how John and I tried to get you to go with us, but you said you didn't have the strength to do so? Remember how John and I then left the house without you, and were only gone for about an hour or so, making one small, quick drive in the small cornfield behind the barn, where John, the only time in his life, shot 4 roosters standing in the same spot? Remember then how we came back to the house and said, "Dad, you just got to go with us. You've got to come out and make one drive through the little cornfield behind the barn. You've got to come. You've got to go. We'll be your dogs. We'll be on either side of you. We'll carry our guns, but they'll never be raised to our shoulders. Everything that gets up will be yours." Remember how you told us that your Remington Pump 12 hadn't been out of the house for 20 years? We continued to coax, and you didn't have a chance against our coaxing. Relenting, you made the short walk to the barn and behind the barn to the cornfield. When the first bird flushed, instinctively you were on it. You fired, and it continued its flight to freedom. Remember, you missed. And hardly minutes later, not yet halfway through that little field, first one, and then a second, and then a third took flight, each of them their last. And in your Norwegian stoical way, said emotionless but with a smile, "That's three. That's my limit. Help me back to the house." Dad, that was a great day. John and I talked about it over and over and over. It was a day etched in our memory. Well, Dad, you heard my sermon about John and his last days. We often talked about you in the light of the October harvest moon, sitting below Multnomah Falls on the Columbia, fishing walleyes towards midnight. Thank you, Dad, for the memories that never die. And now, Dad, this is Communion Sunday, you know. I know that you and Mom wanted me to take over the farm, but know also that you were pleased that I followed God's call into the ministry. So a pastor I've been now for 54 years, Dad, and counting, your farm boy proclaimer of the good news is still at it, through word and sacrament. The word part of this worship service is over. And now it's time for the sacrament. Got to get on with it, lest I forget. Happy Father's Day. But just one more thing, Dad. If we can't cure in the narrow definition of the word, we can do the next best thing, the broader understanding of the word. If we can't cure, we can care, which, while not a cure, does bring healing. John and I had a healing day a few weeks before he died. And we never said a word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the memories we have of our parents. We thank you for family. We thank you for loving families, for caring families. We pray your blessing upon all the fathers present here today. May this be a special day for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Final two verses of "You Have Come Down to the Lakeshore." Let's stand. Into my
seek other seas. You who have fished other waters, you the longing, the yearning, the loving friend, you have come. Small.